before Mincha. And then after Mincha, we continued to discuss it, so someone came up with a simple solution. We learned the Gemara and Ayin Dalet on the base, where the Gemara says two chidushim. Chidush number one, that Bishol applies even to non-food items, namely to tar. Hayman da'atach kufra. Hayim shum avasha. He mentioned that some balabas printed a sefer, and the sefer had his own chidush yeter, and he thought that there's no bishal on tea leaves, because tea is not edible. So he showed from the Gemara that that's not the consideration. Bishal even apply. Maybe that he's right for other reasons, but this argument is not a valid argument. The Gemara says that bishal applies to a peg of wood, sikhsa. I'm under shara sikhsa latuna. And bishal applies to tar. These are non-food items. And then number two, the Gemara says, a chidush, you must have pshita, of course. Once you have the first member, that bishul applies to a peg of wood, so what's the chidush? What's the other chidush in saying that bishul applies to tar? So the Gemara says, ma'u detema, one might have said, kibin l'hadav yikusho. The bishul consists of the fact that I make it soft. I take a hard tar, and I soften it. So Ma'adatayim Kibin Hadavi Kusha becomes hard again a minute later. I would have thought that it's not Bishul Kamashmalana, nonetheless it is Bishul. So we were left with Akasha, and then someone showed me the Egle Talias Akasha. But the Mishnah later says, Aklal, Koloi Samalacha Bishabis, Samalachta Miskayem is Bishabis Chayy. Where did we found that Mishnah? Cool day, summer days. Ze Aklal, Koloi Samalacha, Samalachta Miskayem is Bishabis Chayy. So the Eglital quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim from the Magen Mishnah, from others, whether the Klal in the Mishnah only applies to Boneh. The Oil Aroi is only the Rabbonan. Binyan Kavua is the Raisa, and Oil Aroi is the Rabbonan. Minatar, it's only us if it's Kavua, the Rabbonan tells her even if it's Aroi. So does the Klal in the Mishnah, is that Klal, does it only apply to Perek HaBoneh, where it appears, and Daf Kuvay? Or should I say no? The Mishnah writes that klal. It's a klal in all the lametas of his melachas that every melacha has to be shel kayom. Now Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush. When you get to Tzoveya, he says the Gemara says if a woman puts on makeup, so that's a melacha of kosev or Tzoveya, one or the other. The top line on Tzadikim at Aleph. In our Gemara, the top line in our Gemara says Kocheles, if a person puts a woman puts on Kocheles is Lashon Nekevah, because women usually do it. A woman puts on lipstick or something, is a Chiyah Mishum Tzavas. So on the side, if you look in the Ayin Mishpat, the letter Aleph, there's a long dissertation that in the Rambam it says Chai Mishum Kosei. And our Gemara says Chai Mishum Tzavah, the Rambam says Chai Mishum Kosei. So this is the discussion. Which Malach is it? But there's some kind of a Malach or another. By putting on lipstick or putting on paint around the eyes and so on. So Moshe Feinstein discusses what if a woman is going to put on just powder. She has spots on her face or something, and when she puts on powder, they're not noticeable. So put on white powder, so they can't notice the red spots. So Moshe writes that he thinks that sometimes that's heter gomer. Why is it heter gomer? So he gives a mashal from Eluk Shari. From Perik, the 24 Prokim in Shabbos, and one Perik that's called Eluk Sharm, the 15th Perik, starts on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base. So the Mishnah says some Sharm are Rosam and Atar, some Sharm are Rosam and Rabban. So what's the rule? So Rashi in Shulchan Aruch they quote Machlek is the Rambam and the Rashi. So Rashi learns that if it's Kesher Shal Kayama, then it's Anisa Deraisa. If it's Kesher Shein Shal Kayama, if it's Aroi, then it's Anisa Derabbanan. And if it's aroi, it's very aroi, then it's even mutam of the rabban. So Moshe takes this klal. The Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam learns it has to be kesher ha'umnim and kesher shal kayom. A different shot. You have to have two conditions. So if you only have one condition without the other, it's an isad rabban. And if you have neither condition, then it's not even an isad rabban. But Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns that if it's really kesher shal kayom, then it's deraisa. If it's aroi, then it's the rabbanon. If it's very aroi, the aroi, tie your shoelaces, it's going to untie it the same day, so that's even mutam mid the rabbanon. So Moshe takes that klal, and he applies it to kosev as well. He says that kosev and soveya, if you put on lipstick in such a way that it's going to be shal kayoma, then it'll be ksiva. If you do ksiva ksav shal kayoma, then it's ksiva deraisa. If you do ksiva shena shal kayoma, aroi, then it's the rabbanon. If it's aroid aroid, then he holds that it's muta legamre. There are others who don't agree with Rav Moshe's mashal. Yeah. Okay, okay. That's a good question. How do you determine what's called Shalkayama, what's called Aroi, what color Aroi Daroi? Okay, that's a good question. But Rav Moshe assumes that that's the klal, and he assumes that that klal extends in Kol HaTarkula. It's not only a klal in Hilchas Kesher. See, one could argue the point there is a Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes in the Mishnayis, a Masechah Shabbos. What about Anivo? And that parakeh looks short. So there's a machlokes of Yudin Rabbanan. If you make a bow, whether Anivo, it's on Kuf Yud Gimel Amin Aleph, whether Anivo has the status of a Kesher Shalkayama or it has the status of a Kesher Shena Shalkayama. So we pass from that Anivo is the Kesher Shena Shalkayama. So the Gemara in the last parakeh in Erevin talks about tefillin. The last parak in Erevin is about amoytzi tefillin. A person is walking in the street and he sees a pair of tefillin in the garbage can. The Roman, the Goyim, must have taken some of the tefillin in the garbage, so he doesn't want to leave the tefillin there. And there's no Erev in the city, so he's not allowed to carry. So he wants to save the tefillin. The garbage collector is going to come. If it's Bein HaShemash, it's the way to left the Shabbos is over and stand there and take the tefillin after Shabbos. It's a whole day long, and he can't stay there, and the garbage collector is going to come, and they're going to destroy it. So he wants to preserve the tefillin, shouldn't be mizbazer. So the Mishnah has a machlekes satanayim. Can he put on two shal yads and two shal roshes, or should he put it on only one shal yad and one shal rosh? So a discussion, and that's how the last parak in Erevin begins. So part of the discussion there in the Mishnah is, what if he sees the tefillin, and it doesn't have a kesher on it? It has tefillin and batim and it has ritzuis, and there is no kesher. Is he allowed to make a kesher on Shabbos and then put on the tefillin? Will that be called derech levish? So the Gemara says, will the tefillin be kosher if you make it on Iva? So the Gemara says, it depends on this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that on Iva has the status of kesher shal kayama for Shabbos purposes, for violation of the malacha of kosher, and who are the nami that it has the status of a kesher for kesher shal tefillin. Whereas according to the Chachamim, that Aniva is not a kesher shal kayama, so you're not chayiv on Shabbos, so who are the nami wouldn't be kosher for tefillin. So the Gemara says it won't help over there. You're only allowed to wear the tefillin in the street on Shabbos in order to save it in a fashion that it's not hoitzor. How is it not hoitzor if you're wearing the tefillin the normal way? If it has a normal kesher, that would basically be a kosher pair of tefillin. But you can't make a kesher on Shabbos. What are you going to do? You're going to make an aniva? So mimanavshach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, to make the aniva is already a malach on Shabbos. You can't make the aniva in order to... not allowed to violate an isa malach. What do you do? According to the Chachamim, aniva is not a malach, deraisa, yeah, but aniva won't be a kosher peratzum. So you see from that Gemara that the din of kesher, shal kayama, is the din in kol haterakula, in Hilchas Kesher. It's not just a local din in Hilchas Shabbos, that by Shabbos you need a kesher shal kayama. The Gemara assumes that for tefillin also you need a kesher shal kayama, and the same machlokes is a bilin hachachamim, whether aniva is considered a kesher shal kayama. The same machlokes that applies to Shabbos applies to tefillin as well. So the same as by kosev also. Same as Bakosev, the din of Ksav Shel Kayoma, Ksav Shena Shel Kayoma, Inat Chayev, is not only a din in Hilchas Shabbos. The Gemara has it in the middle of Masechet Gittin also. A get, because of Los Sefer increases, a get has to be Ksav. And the Gemara assumes that has to be Ksav Shel Kayoma. Ksav Shel Kayoma is not only a din in Hilchas Shabbos, it's a din in Kol HaTerakula, whatever you require Ksav. Kesher Shel Kayoma also by Chalitza. By Chalitza, our practice is that you make a knot on the ritzuis of the chalitza shoe, and then the yavam unties the knot. So taisvis, and that's how the Gemara says. The Gemara says in yavam, you make a knot, and then the yavam unties the knot. So taisvis there, and the rosh have a whole discussion. Some rishonim all that has to be a kesher shal kayama. Another rishonim disagree. They say mehecha taisvis. Where does it say in the chumash? Where does it say in halacha that it has to be a kesher? You have to untie the kesher. But half of the rishonim, half of the bali taisvis assume you gotta have a kesher shal kayama. Our minig is that we make an aniva agadi kesher. that first they make a kesher shel kayama, double knot on the ritzuas of the sun, the shachalitza, then they make a bow on top of that to satisfy the both opinions in Tesis. One opinion in Tesis is that you need a kesher, and the Yavam has to untie that kesher, has to have a Torah sakesher. The other opinion is you don't need a kesher. All you need is that the shoe should hold on to his foot if it's too big. If it's going to be falling off of his foot, so that's not called removing the shoe from his foot. So there also where you require dafke, half of the Rishonim insist that you need a kesher, so they say it has to be a kesher shal kayama. You have to have a kesher gabi kesher. You're going to have an aniva, they say you won't be out to the din of chalitza. So again, this getting back again, according to some Rishonim, this Mishnah that says kol oisam malacha b'shabbos and malachta miskayemes b'shabbos, it's a klal, it's not only a klal in bona, it's not only a local din in bona, it's a din in all of the malachas. True, the din of kesher shal kayama is a local din, it's a din in kesher in kol ha-tarakula. The Gemara says in Erevin it applies even to tefillin. It's a din of ksav shal kayama as opposed to ksav shena shal kayama. It's also a din in kol, it's not only a local din in hilchos shabbos, it's a din in ksav. But there is another din, and all the lamed tes of all malachas have to be shal kayama. There's one din according to some rishonim. Other rishonim says that klal only goes on bone; it doesn't go on all the lamed tes malachas. And others say no, it goes on all the malachas have to be shal kayama. In addition to which, kesher has to be shal kayama by definition of hilchas kesher. So even in other areas outside of hilchas shabbos, you'll also need shal kayama. And ksav has to be shal kayama. In kol ha-tarkul also you need shal kayama, not only hilchas shabbos. If you say it goes on all Hilchos Shabbos, obviously it's based on the Klal HaMelechos Masheves. And in addition to that, it applies to the others as well. So this was the kasha that the Eglei Tal posed, what we left off before Yom Kippur. If one should assume that in all the Melechos in Yishol Kayama, so how does the Gemara come to the conclusion by us? The Gemara says, Ma'u Detema, one might have thought, Kev Nohad of Yikusha, if you heat up the tar so it becomes soft. And then when you take it off of the fire, it's going to become just as hard as it was before. So I would have thought, since it's only a temporary bishul, Emel, I would have thought that you're not chai. Kamashmalan that you are chai. So Degli Tal asks, why? Why don't you say that it's a bishul sheinu shel kayama? So after Mincha, we were discussing it further before Yom Kippur. So we came up with the following suggestion. Shel kayama maybe in each case is determined differently. Let's say if you do bishul on food, so let's say there would be such a bishul that you take raw chickens and raw potatoes and you cook it, there'll be such a bishul which doesn't yet exist. It's only mavushal for the next 24 hours, and after 24 hours it reverts back to become raw. The potatoes become raw again and the chicken becomes raw again. So how long do you have to have that it should be mavushal? So the stomach, you need that it should be mavushal until you're going to eat it. People normally cook chicken. They don't always eat it within 24 hours. So if you would have a chicken, a form of bishul, that reverts back to its original state after 24 hours, Mustama, that wouldn't be called the bishul shal kayama. Or let's say ksav. What's the definition of ksav shal kayama? The gittin that were written in the days of the Tanoim are not around anymore. I don't know if we have any gittins in the days of the Tanaim. It's not ksav shel kayama. It didn't last 2,000 years. It doesn't have to last 2,000 years. A get has to last as long as the woman lives, that she should be able to prove, that she should be able to remarry. The pasuk in Yirmiyah says that they should write the shtaris and they should put them in the satam licheres, man yam the yomim rabim, that the shtar should be able to last for many years, yomim rabim, for many years. Over there it means 70 years, because they were told in advance that there's going to be a golas bavel for 70 years, and the whole idea of buying the field from his cousin in Anosos, Yirmiyahu Navi was given a nevuah that his cousin is coming, he's going to sell him a field, and the fields are basically worthless because the whole government is about to collapse. The enemy, the Babylonian armies, had almost conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, so the real estate should be worthless. So what is he going to buy a field for? So he's told the nevuah he should buy a field. He doesn't understand why. So after he does what he was told to do, he buys the field and he puts the document and he kills Cheres and Yamda Yamim Ram. So he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did I do this for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, it's in the Haftarah of Bahar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, this is a simen that there's going to be a Geula after 70 years, and you'll use the shtar. You'll be able to use the shtar another 70 years. So in that case, you should put the shtaris. He had a sefer agolay, a sefer achasim. He had two shtaris on the same field. So he was told to put away the shtaris and it should last for 70 years. Okay, so that's reasonable. The woman doesn't need a get that should last for 70 years. But the woman is going to live. She's getting divorced at the age of 40. She plans to live another 70 years. She needs a get to be able to remarry. To prove that after she remarries, she can throw out the get. She needs the get afterwards. She doesn't need a get after she remarries already. So how long does it get? Each case, mistamak sab shel kayama, depends on each circumstance. How long is it reasonable that you need shel kayama? So mistama, one could argue the point and say, when they're pouring tar in the street, on the sidewalk, whatever they do with tar. I guess they made sidewalks, they make highways. So they want it to be soft. They only need it to be soft for a short period of time. It's not like cooking raw chicken or raw potatoes or raw vegetables that you don't want it to revert back to its original state after 24 hours. You made soup or you made chicken, so you want it to last for a reasonable amount of time, as long as it'll still be roy lachila. For a week or two, I don't know, you leave it in the refrigerator. Over here, when you're heating up tar, so the noik shabaylam is, you heat up the tar, and then you pour the tar right away. So that's called shel kayama. Under the circumstances, that's called shel kayama. That's the minig olam, that's how you do it. Or if you throw the wooden peg into the oven. So there also, it's only soft for a short period of time. First it's mirfa rafi bahada komik. That's the way you make it hard. First you make it soft for a short period of time, then you make it hard. So it did its job in the 2 minutes that it was softened, or in the half a minute that it was softened. So maybe that doesn't pose a problem of Eina Shel Kayama. Maybe Shel Kayama is judging each case individually. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael in the hospitals, so they have to write down, patient comes, they have to write down the history of the patient when they interview him in order to know how to treat him. So the patient is not going to be released in an hour. He's going to be there, we hope he'll get better. Okay, they stay there for a week or two. So you need that the record should stay for 2 weeks, let's say. The record should last for longer, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they keep records for a year or two. I don't know. So if you're going to write with things that's going to disappear within 24 hours, so that's abnormal. Which the hospital in the world keeps the record with things that's going to disappear within 24 hours? You're going to have to write it over again. So that's what they do. So they write an ink that's going to disappear in 24 hours. And after Havdalah, they Xerox it or they copy it over again, whatever. So the ksiva that they did was ksiva shena shel kayama. So they lowered it to a level of drabon. But let's say someone's giving a class and they're writing on the blackboard. So how long do they need that the chalk should last on the blackboard? So that class, for 50 minutes. They don't need it for the next class. Next class, they're going to erase everything that they wrote and they're going to write a different course, something else. Biology, then comes physics, whatever. So every course, they're going to have something else. So maybe the chalk, pashtus, you usually think that chalk on a blackboard is ksav shenish el kayama, because by its very nature, it's not going to last too long. But maybe it's not true. Maybe the chalk on the blackboard lasts for the 50 minutes of the period, or for the 2 hours of the period. Maybe that's enough. Maybe each case of Bishul and Kosher and so on, maybe each malacha in each instance is judged individually to determine what's called Shel Kayam and what's called Shel Aroi.
Maybe it's some have a requirement of Kayam and some don't, because we see that you do Bishul on like it goes over your Atzoletic, the high Bishul. It goes to low, and then you send it back over again, then you did another act of Bishul. You can be doing this to water all Shabbat. It goes down, it goes up, it goes down. So in the summer, it seems that there is no requirement of Kayamet by Bishul. Because otherwise, once you want to say that the water went down, you wanted the water to be hot for 2 hours while you're drinking your tea. Now it went down below the Atzoletic. You didn't want it to happen. You got to boil it back up again, and then you do it.
So you want to say you don't need Shel Kayama by Bishul. Okay, right. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Or one could say that since that's the normal way to heat up coffee or tea, you heat it up, and you don't want it to be burning hot forever. You want it to cool off a little bit. That's Benoik Shaboilam. So maybe under those circumstances, maybe that's called Shel Kayama. Shel Kayama by hot tea is that it should be hot for a short period of time. Maybe that's called Shel Kayama.
Where does the Gemara get the rule that it has to get soft without being Bishul? What do they do with cooking an egg?
Right, the Rambam The Rambam wrote against the Pasha Pshat in Gemara. The Rambam writes, either you make something soft hard, or you make something hard soft. Cooking an egg is not a kasha. Cooking an egg, that's a food item. Raw egg, many people don't enjoy eating raw egg. So when you cook the egg, then you make it roi lachila. The Pashtus is, the Gemara is only saying this on the third form of bishul. There's bishul on foods, there's bishul on liquids, and then there's bishul on non-food items. On non-food items, what it sounds like it says in the Gemara is only to soften something. The Rambam says either to soften or to make hard. So that's what they use.
Any thickness that you need. According to the Rambam, it's any thickness that you want. Whatever he does for it, that's its thickness.
Yeah. So the yes, that the Rambam seems to be against our Giras in the Gemara. The Rambam must have had a different Giras in the Gemara.
What's the
His real purpose is to make it hard. According to the Rambam.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what they yes. The simple reading in the Gemara is against the Rambam. So the Makabas HaMishnah has a long, boring answer, which is probably correct. Which is probably right. The boring answers are often right. He has a long arichas. He says the Rambam has a different shot, a Yerushalmi and a Bavli, and he always has. So he interprets that it's not against the Rambam. I don't know.
Is that the more
American
against
the Avnei Nezer,
the
Tilden
and
Shachar Nachnevel? The Avnei Nezer has a suggestion that just like on Shabbos you need Kesher Shal Kayama, he quotes that Gemara. Just like on Shabbos you need Kesher Shal Kayama, so to buy tefillin you need Kesher Shal Kayama. So he says if you borrow someone else's Shal Rosh and it doesn't fit, and you readjust the Kesher, and then after davening you're going to put it back to the way it was originally, give it back to him. So since the Kesher that you made in the Shal Rosh is not going to last for 24 hours, so that in the days of things, just like in Hilchos Shabbos, that's not called the Kesher Shal Kayama. So for Tefillin, it's also not called the Kesher Shal Kayama. Right, so that's what many person go along with the Avnei Nezer. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that one could dingzach. One could say that true, there is a din in Hilchos Shabbos that you need Kesher Shal Kayama. And there is a din in Kol HaTorah Kula in Kesher that you need Kesher Shal Kayama. It could be that the dinim are not identical. It could be that in Kesher and Kol HaTorah Kula that you need Kesher Shal Kayama, all you need is a Tetzuras HaKesher, should be Kesher Shal Kayama. So Aniva is a Machlik Zabir and Rabbanon, later on Kuf Yud Gimel, whether Aniva is called a Tzura of a Kesher Shal Kayama or not. But the fact that you have to tie the Kesher and it should remain like that, you plan that it should remain like that indefinitely, that if you plan to untie the knot within 24 hours, it's not called Kesher Shal Kayama, it could be that aspect of Shal Kayama, that's only a local din in Hilchos Shabbos based on Malachas Mosheves. Maybe that aspect of Shal Kayama does not apply in Kol HaTorah Kula. That could be. There's such a Magid Mishnah by Ksav also. The din is that Ksav on Shabbos has to be Ksav Shal Kayama. If you write in May Paris and it's not going to last too long, so then on Shabbos you're not Chayiv. There's a Mishnah later in Hilchos Kosev. And it says in Gittin, in the middle of Gittin, in the Chav, that Ksiva by Get has to be Ksav Shal Kayam. You have to use such an ink. If you write the Get, then they pay it, so it's no good. So the Magid Mishnah thinks that in the Stira, there's a Stira in the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah points out, there is a Tosus in Gittin on that Mishnah, that if you write with ink, you write with the Get with May Paris, so it's not going to last too long. So it's not a kosher get. So Taisa says, not only if the ink is not Shal Kayama, huadinami, if the ink is perfect ink, but you wrote on such a background, instead of writing on a piece of paper that's going to last for a long period of time, piece of paper is not going to last forever either. It lasts for a long period of time. So if you Taisa quotes at Tosefta, that if you write on a leaf, and the leaf is going to shrivel up in a very short period of time, even though the ink that you wrote is perfect, the ink can last for many years, but the background on which you wrote, the leaf, is such that it's going to dry out due to normal weather conditions. It's going to dry out. So Tosfos quotes at the Sefer that that's not a good get. Shal Kayama by Ksiva has to be, the ink should be Shal Kayama and the background should be Shal Kayama. So the Rambam never quoted that Tosfos. So the Magen Mishnah has a comment, how come the Rambam, he assumes the Rambam disagrees with Tosafot. So how come the Rambam didn't quote the Tosafot? So he writes with a straight face, the Rambam only quotes what says in the Talmud Bavli. He never quotes any outside source. The Rambam is the one who quotes some of the outside sources. We don't know where in the world he's quoting from. Rambam quotes Tosafot and Sifri Zutas and all over the place, Mechilta, the Rashbi, everything under the sun the Rambam quotes. They still don't know Adayam Azed, the Makoris for all the Rambams, where he's quoting from. To make a statement like that, that the Rambam never quotes any Sifreis, never quotes any Tosafot. I mean, he always quotes Sifreis, he always quotes Tosafot, more so than all the Rishonim put together, perhaps. So that's very strange. But that's the Magen Mishnah understood that the Rambam didn't quote the Tosafot on purpose, that the Talmud Bavli doesn't agree with the Tosafot and Maseches Gittin, holds only that the ink has to be Shal Kayama, and the paper doesn't have to be Shal Kayama. In Hilchos Shabbos, you look, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam writes that Ksav is only a Malacha if it's Ksav Shal Kayama. So he writes explicitly the ink has to be Shal Kayama, and the background, the paper on which you're writing, has to be Shal Kayama. So according to the simple pshat is that the Rambam in Hilchos Gittin is relying on what he wrote in Hilchos Shabbos. You need Shal Kayama, you need both mitzad the ink and mitzad the paper. They both have to be Shal Kayama. That's the Pasha pshat, not like the Magen Mishnah. According to the Magen Mishnah, you have a steer in the two Rambams. That in Hilchos Shabbos, he holds that it has to be Shal Kayama, both mitzad the ink and mitzad the background, the paper. And Hilchos Gittin only requires mitzad the ink, and the background, the paper, doesn't bother him. That's how the Magen Mishnah understood. So the Prima Gorim has to have stira in the Rambam. So he gives that answer. He says, there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos that all malachas have to be Shal Kayama. And then there's a din in Hilchos Ksav, a local din in Hilchos Ksav, a Ksav has to be Shal Kayama. So the din in Kol HaTarakula, that Ksav has to be Shal Kayama. That's why Get has to be, we think that Shal Kayama, that's only the din that depends on the ink. And the background on which he writes doesn't bother me. Even though the leaf is going to shrivel up, he wrote a get on a leaf, and the leaf is going to shrivel up. It's not going to last a year, and the woman is not going to remarry within a year. So how's she going to use the get to prove that she's divorced? So tough luck. That'll be her problem. That's called ksav shal kayama. That doesn't bother me, as long as the ink is shal kayama. Hilchos Shabbos, because you have a din of maleches machshavah, so that's why there's an additional din. So that's how some argue with the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer held that the Avnei Nezer understood that the Gemara in the last Perek in Erevin made an equation between Kesher Shal Kayama for Shabbos and Kesher Shal Kayama for Tefillin was a full equation, a total equation. So whatever is needed by Shabbos is needed by Tefillin. So by Shabbos, if you make a Kesher, make a Mamish a knot, but you plan to untie it 2 hours later, so that would be a Kesher Shena Shal Kayama. So the Avnei Nezer holds that the Tefillin are not kosher. A tefillin will be possible if you only made a knot that's going to last temporarily. You're going to take it apart. And others disagreed with the Avnei Nezer. How the Gemara never meant to make a full equation. The Gemara just meant there's one din of Shal Kayama that's shared in common. Kesher and Chalitza Shu. What are you going to say about the Chalitza Shu? You have to tie the shoe on his foot 25 hours beforehand. We don't do that. They come in the morning, they put on the shoe, they tie the knot, they untie the knot 5 minutes later. The knot didn't last for 24 hours. So here for the Rishonim is that you need a Kesher Shal Kayama by the Chalitza Shu. How is that a Kesher Shal Kayama? So the answer is they just require a Tzuras Kesher Shal Kayama. And Kol HaTarakula, the din in Kesher that needs Kesher Shal Kayama, is only vis-a-vis the Tzuras HaKesher. The fact that it has to be of a lasting nature, you plan to leave it there indefinitely on more than a day, whatever it is, that's perhaps only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. That's not necessarily a din in Kol HaTarakula. So this could be, again, just to review, it could be that the Mishnah Kuf Beis says in Ichal Kayam by Binyan. The Oel HaRoi is only the Rabbana, that we know. And the Rishonim have a Machlokes, whether it's only a din in Boner, it's a din in all the Malachas. And even if it's a din in all the Malachas, but still by Kosher, Kesher Shal Kayama, that's a din in Hilchas Kesher, because it applies even to Tefillin. And Ksav Shal Kayama, that's a din in Ksav, and Kol HaTarakula. And it couldn't even be that there are differences l'alacha between the need for Shal Kayama by Kesher and Kol HaTarakula and by Shabbos, and it could be that there are differences in Ksav Shal Kayama between Shabbos and Kol HaTarakula. It need not necessarily be the same. So it could be that that's the Pshat in our Gemara. It could be that how do you determine Shal Kayama for Shabbos purposes? It depends on Malach's Machshavah. So whatever is normal. So maybe you can say it's normal to write on the blackboard. and the ink and the chalk only lasts for one period. That's normal. So it could be that that's called shel kayam. I think the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Rambam holds you need two conditions, that it should be kesher menatar, you need a kesher ha'umnim, and that it should be shel kayamo. So if you have both conditions, then it's there, right?
According to the Rambam, it's going to last for a certain amount of time, that's still in third or not.
You mean by kesher?
By kesher.
Got to look in the Gemara. I don't remember. We'll have to learn that Gemara.
Based on that, we need to still understand Abinizer. Could you still say like a rough understanding of the Abinizer? Could that still be on the
table? That what again?
That based on the time. I mean, according to Rambam, when we go, there's no like level. We've lived in Rashi, there's two different levels of time.
Yeah.
The Rambam, there's only one time that's going to last or not going to last. So how would the answer really fit in? There's two different people in the Shira, one we discuss time, one we don't discuss time. How does it fit?
You can still say like that, yeah. The Gemara only made an equation. The Gemara, the last parak and Ev, made an equation between kesher shel tefillin and kosher on Shabbos that they both need shel kayam only regarding the tzuras hakesher. But in the last thing, the fact that it has to last, that could be that that's only a din in hilchos Shabbos. That should not carry over to tefillin. V'haraya that lechol hadeis, it doesn't carry over to chalitza. Chalitza shoe isn't tied on for more than a day. It's just tied on for a few minutes.
That's a strange.
Then
you would consider
that it is, that's the kayama.
I don't
know. Same way or the other thing. Me, call that called shel kayama. Could also be. I thought the pshat was that you don't need that kind of shel kayama, you don't need. You just need a tzuras hakesha, that the tzuras should be one of shel kayama. But you don't really need that it should be of a lasting nature. The lasting nature, perhaps that's only a din in hilchos Shabbos, because of malachos mashem.
If you would borrow tefillin from somebody, to make the kesher bigger, give it back to him, so make it smaller, you have a kind of mitzvah on the Yamanas.
That's what he writes, Benichusa. You're saying Bitmiya. He says Benichusa, yeah.
That's what he
says. That's what he says, yeah. Yeah. They are printed in the Svarim that Rav Yankel Moshe Chalav, that's Rabbi Chalav's grandfather, once went to Bnei Brak and he planned to go back to Yerushalayim the same day and he got stuck. And he didn't have a tefillin with him. So the Chazanish lent him his tefillin the next morning. And he told him, if you want to be machmer for the Avnei Nezer, don't untie the kesher and leave it for 24 hours, and I'll untie it tomorrow morning after 24 hours. They don't say whether the Chazanish held la halacha like that. He just offered Rabbi Yankel Moshe, if he wants to be machmer, so he said, don't untie. Doesn't say what he did either. Yeah, 24 hours is sheer on a dinder abonon. That if a kesher is going to last more than 24 hours, then it's kesher, then it's not aroi daroi, then it's aroi. So then it's also a dinder abonon. So why should that be relevant when it gets to tefillin? If you really have a requirement in atar that has to be kesher shel kayama, so kesher shel kayama has to be shel kayama that is going to be indefinitely, half a year or something. Right, right. That's in Shulchan Aruch like that, right? Are you allowed to untie? Right. Mogen Avraham quotes a Mordechai. We'll have to learn the Gemara later. Mogen Avraham quotes a Mordechai that Aniva is Mutter on Shabbos only if you only make an Aniva. But we usually, when we make a bow, we make one kesher, then you make Aniva Agabi kesher. Instead of making kesher Agabi kesher, we make Aniva Agabi kesher. You cross the two shoelaces against each other once, and instead of crossing against each other a second time, to make kesher Agabi kesher, then we make Aniva Agabi kesher. So the Mordechai quoted by the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Kosher says, Aniva Agabi kesher is awesome in the Rabbana if it's going to last more than 24 hours. So then if you get the Glila on Shabbos, to Mincha, or to Shachris, and they're not going to use that Sefer Torah for Mincha, so they're not going to untie this until Monday, so then it's going to be lasting for more than 24 hours. So then he says you're not allowed to tie it. Or if they They used the Sefer Torah last on Thursday. And then on Shabbos morning, you have to untie it. So it's going to have an on the Yival Gabi Kesher. So that's Matir Midir Rabbanim. That's also Midir Rabbanim to untie the bow. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik, when he had the Bechina, so he asked that question. On his Bechina, so he wrote, Hech Yisnaheg HaGoylov. When a person gets clearly, what should he do? So he meant he should explain the Mordechai quoted by the Magen Avraham. So one of the guys didn't know the Shia. So he wrote, he should say Mishaderach, he should donate money to the shul. He didn't understand what the whole issue was. Didn't know what the whole issue was. Yeah. Yeah. That could be. That's a good point. If one should assume that that's the answer to our Gemara, that Shalkayama is not always the same. In a letter, it's Shalkayama, the Ksav is longer, Shtaris is longer, Gitna shorter, whatever, yeah. So then it could be that by Tfilin, that's the Shia. Last a little less than that. Could be. Okay, that's a possibility. Then the Gemara quotes Om Arove, Om Rabaye. The Gemara says if you make a basket, so you're in violation of so many malachas. The Gemara doesn't spell out which malachas are you in violation of. So in the details of working out which malachas he violated, so there is a machlokes here between Rashi and Tosfos. So Rashi writes about the seventh wide line on the Omud. Shimbona leke the chayuvet. Loi b'chavis, loi b'tana, loi b'kaveres. There's no malacha bona. Dein binyi mekele. Sorry. Tosfos quotes the Rashi. There's no bona. And they disagree. Vein and Nira. Where does the Gemara have this klalein binyi mekele? So on the side of the Tosfos it says it's mem vava min aleph. So they say that Gemara, the Dafke b'machzir mito or mata, I'm not sure. Not Gemara, it's a staff or it's a bed. I'm not sure. Mito shel tarsim. If you have a convertible sofa or menorah shel chulyas, you have a menorah that has different pieces, and if you want to have the menorah taller, so you add on more pieces. You want to have it shorter, so you're like a Lego set. So if you put the pieces together, you take the pieces apart. So if you have a kli shel prakim shahed yot yochel hachaziro, let's say you have an automobile also, or a television also. If you know the mechanics of a television automobile, you can take the whole thing apart and put the whole thing together again also. But that needs an uman. That requires an uman lahachaziro. A 6-year-old child can't put it back together. But when they have these convertible sofas, so they always advertise a 6-year-old child can put back, can open up the sofa and close the sofa. So if you don't, that's the klal that Tosfos holds. When you say ein binyan mekelim, that's if you have a kli shel parokim, a kli made up of different pieces, and you don't need a hedyot, you don't need an uman lahachazirom. That's what the Ran adds on to the Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't add it, but the Ran adds it on. Whenever you need an uman lahachazirom, that's like making a kli mechodosh, and kishos a kli legamrei, kishos a legamrei, kol a kli, when you make a kli mechodosh, mechay mishim bona. What's Tosfos' proof? So they have a rife in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Beis and Beis. Says the Farish, I mind the al sufs of the kapil and morach. I'm shimbona. So enough in the Gemara that if you have a hammer and you put the wooden piece into the metal top and you attach the two pieces together, made it into a hammer. Sure. So the Gemara says that it's a malacha bona. Thing is that so what's Rashi going to do? It's a beferish Gemara. So does the Gemara really exist? Is there really such a Gemara? The answer is yeah, there is a Gemara, but it's a machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So Rashi on the Vilna Goyen writes in Shin Yudalit, where this is quoted, Shin Yudalit, Shin Tezvav, the two simonim of Hilchos Shabbos that deal with Bona and Ohel. When is it Deraisa and when is it Derabbana? So the Bir Agro in the beginning of Shin Yudalit has a long arichas on this Rashi. So he says, Rashi obviously understood that is exactly the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Amim Shin Boyne Shmuel Amim Shin Makab Apatish. So he says that Shmuel disagrees with Rav. And Rashi understood, based on all of Shas, usually whenever there's a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and he said, there to be passed like Rav. Did Imamunas will paskin like Shmuel? But here Rashi understood based on all the sugyas in the Gemara that here we paskin like Shmuel that you want to chayim shum makabat patish and not chayim shum boine because ain't bin yib mekelim. Even if you oisa kli mechadosh, even oisa kli mechadosh is also ain't bin yib mekelim. Tesis repeats this again on kuv beis on the base, exactly on that Gemara. I mind the aisle on kuv beis on the base. I mind the aisle suv sub kufin in the Gemara. Rabba b'chayim shum boine. So the yes, v'yafo gab dikayim alon ein binyan dikelim. Amri, hana davkan b'hachazoris b'tei tracin. Same thing the Gemara has in Beitza. The Gemara talks about they used to open up the push carts. I remember when I was a little boy. I lived in Philadelphia. They used to have Market Street. So the merchants, a lot of them were Jewish. The merchants used to have push carts that went on wheels. And they moved it into the middle of the street. Then they used to open up the top and take off the lid. So that's for the Gemara, from the day of the Gemara, 2,000 years ago. They still did it. I don't know if they still have it today. Same stuff. In other parts of the world, they have it. They don't have it in this part of the world anymore. So the Gemara talks about Hachzara's Batei Tracin. You take off the lid, it's a klishal prokem, and you don't have to be such an expert to take it apart, or to put it back together. It's obvious. It's on hinges, and it's made in such a way that it's, you take it off, you put it back, you take it off, you put it back. When you unlock it, when you open for business, you take off the whole lid from the push cart. And then when you want to close everything, leave your merchandise locked up that no one should gamble it. So you put the lid back on. So Hachzoras Batei Tracin, that's in Beitza, Menorah, Sholchulius, that's on Daf Mem Vov, on Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says if you have the Menorah like the Legos, Lego pieces, so you can make it taller, make it shorter. So you put together different pieces and make it taller. If you take off some, then you make it shorter. So Tosfos says that's a Kli Shel Prokim. Shahedyot Yochal Hachazira, so that's not binyan. But binyan gomem mechay bekelim kemo bekarka. How does Tosfos know? So they one raya is this gemara kuv beis and beis. The Rab says so. So the Vilna Gaon says according to Rashi that's exactly the machlokes Rav Shmuel, and Rashi holds based although the din should have been like Rav. Rashi holds based on the Kama Sugis that here the din is like Shmuel. So Tosfos brings another raya. Kidi Amina, they're going to prove that binyan gomor, if you make a kli mechadosh shechayv bekelim kemo bekarka, not only is the binyan that's mechubel karka, even tolush is also kidi amin himself perikira daf memzayin mito shel tarsim. If you have a bed, I don't know if it's a mito or mata, I don't know if it's a staff, a mata, or a mito, a bed. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to screw it together tightly. If you screwed it together, let's say you put in a screw that everything should hold together. I had to go today to the eyeglasses shop because my glasses fell apart. So I came. Every day there's another terrace by coming. So today the terrace was. So today the terrace was. I had to stand for 5 minutes in the shop. So they had to put in the screw. So the din is if you put in the screw tightly, it's this terrace. So if you put the screw in tightly, so that's the Gemara says imtoka chayv chatas. The Gemara says you're not allowed to put in the screw loosely, roughly, because gzeir Hashem yiska, because it may tighten. And if you tighten it, imtoka chayv chatas. That's the end. The last daf in Perakira. Here, the top line of Mem Zayin on the base. You're not allowed to put in Hechzir. If you put it in loosely, Potter Abalosser. The lo yiska bim toka chayv chatas. Toka doesn't mean you blow shofar. Toka means Rashi is bechayzik al yedei yisaydis. If you tighten the screw, then you chayv chatas. So Tosfos says that's enough in the Gemara that there's binyan mekelim. So the Ran writes on Daf Mem Zayin. No, toka chayv chatas shumaka bapatish. Where does it say in the Gemara that it's chayv? It says chayv. If you screw it in tightly, there's a malacha there. Rashi doesn't say which malacha. The Tosfos assumes that the malacha is bona. And Rashi will answer, like the Ran explains, that it's not bona, but it's rather makabah patish. Rashi's masking that if you make a kli mechodesh, it's a malacha. But he holds it's not the malacha bona, it's a malacha makabah patish. Then Tosfos brings another rai. Here they have three rais. The one rai from Daf Kuf Beis on the base, Rav. Rav says all the favors. So Rashi says maskim. Rav says so, and I pass for like Shmuel. Then Tosfos has a rai from Daf Mem Zayinim, Toka Chayv Chatos, Rashi Maskin, Toka Chayv Chatos, a Malocha Derais, it's Makabat Patish, it's not Bona. Then Tosfos has a third Gemara from Erev in Daf Lamed Hei. The din is when you make an Erev, they're talking about Erev Echatzeres, Erev Echumen, it doesn't make a difference. When you have either Erev Echatzeres, Erev Echumen, you have to set aside food. And I say that that's my mockum. Erev Chatzeres, let's say you have an area where you have a chotzer where you have 10 families living there. So Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that each family asks on the other one, you're not allowed to carry from the bais into the chotzer, from the chotzer into the bais, from one bais to the other bais, unless they 9 families leave food in the home of the 10th family, and it's considered, so the 10th family lives in that home. They don't have to leave any food. Even if they plan to fast the Shabbos, they live there. And the other 9 families, because they left food in that home, it's considered as if all the 10 families live in the one home, and nobody asks on anybody else. They only ask on each other if each family lives in a different home. So the food that they leave in that place has to be roi lachila bein hashmashes avchila Shabbos. Let's say it's locked up in a safe, and there's no way to open up the safe unless you use dynamite and you break the safe. So then the Gemara says it's no good. Or the same is for Erev Tchumen. I want to go, I live over here, I want to go, there's going to be Talmud Chacham giving a shir. In the days of the Gemara, people wanted to go Chutz L'Tchum to hear a shir on Shabbos. And later years, they wanted to go because there's a Chazan coming, not that Talmud Chacham. But that's in the days of the Tanoim. At least that's what the Tanoim thought, that they were coming to hear their Rabbonim. Listen, they wanted to hear the Shia. Chacham Bala Mizrach, Eruvi LeMizrach. Chacham Bala Marev, Eruvi LeMarev. So they would make an Erev Tchumen to go Chutz L'Tchum L'Dvar Mitzvah. So the same thing over there. Where if you leave, I really live over here. So my Tchum ends over here, but I want to go over there. So if I leave a box of matzah, I leave some food over here, so then it's considered my mokum is over there, then I can go alpai mama further. So I have to leave the food in a place where it's shayach that I should be able to eat it. That's, I'm afraid someone's going to steal the food. So I leave the food in a safe, and I lock the safe up, and no one has the key. I have the key over here, but I can't carry from here to there. So then it's no good. I have to leave the food in a place where it's shayach that I should be able to get to it. If I'm afraid the people or the animals are going to steal the food, so I leave it on a branch in a tree. So there's a din with the Rabbanan, Amish Tamshin bin Mechuber. There's a gzerim with the Rabbanan. You're not allowed to hang anything on a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to take anything off from a tree that's hanging on Shabbos. That's called the Shtamshin bin Mechuber on Shabbos. That's a gzerim with the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, if that's the whole thing that prevents you from getting to the food, is that you put it on top of a branch on the tree high up, so the Gemara says that's not a problem, because that's the whole sugya there in Erev and Daflam and Gimel. Since the whole prohibition that prevents you from being able to eat the food bein hashmashes atchilo Shabbos is an isa de rabbanon, v'hem ishtam shem b'chubis, a kol davish u'm yishum shvus, l'gozer ola bein hashmashes. So if you have a big shas atchak and a tzara gadol, makom mitzvah, so then you would be makel to take off the food from the tree. So that's called the surah haruya lebaileha. That's called a good erev. But when you have a real serious isa, it doesn't even have to be an isa de raisa. When you have a more serious isa de rabbanon, preventing you from being able to eat the food, I put the food in a safe, and the only way to get the food out of the safe is by using dynamite to break open the safe, or to break the whole safe. So then the Gemara says, since you have to violate some kind of a serious malach over here, even if it's only a malach on the Rabbanon, so the Erev is not good. Not good for the Erev Chatzer, it's not good for the Erev Tchumen either. So the Gemara discusses there, Nisana b'Migdal. Migdal Shalates, he put the Erev Tchumen, Erev Chatzeres, same thing. He left it a migdal. Migdal is a portable closet. A migdal shalates, what do you call it in a dining room when you have a wooden cabinet, armoire, whatever you call it in French, whatever language. So it's locked up. It's so garrison, so garrison. Mamish. He left it in, and he does want the kids to eat the matzah. The Erev Chatzeres. So he threw the key out. So no one can get. So you can't get to the matzahs. So it's no good. So the only way to get to the matzahs is to break down the migdal shalates. So the Gemara says that's a problem. That's a malacha. Migdal shalates is a problem. So sir. So that's Taisus Kasha. That's Taisus Kasha. Marsava Kalihu, Bein Binyan Mikhaila, Marsava Oilhu. So that's Taisus Kasha against Rashi. If Rashi holds that there's no binyan b'kelim, so there can't be any steer b'kelim either. So there's no binyan, there's no steer b'kelim. So there'll only be in one direction, there'll be makabah patish if you make a kli. Rashi's going to agree it's makabah patish. But if you break a kli, there's not going to be an isa deraisa. It may be awesome at the rabbana, but it's not going to be such a serious isa that you wouldn't be matah ben hashmashes. If you have a serious isa de rabbana, that place is cloud there in Erevin and Daflam and Gimel, and it's called La'aloch and Shulchan Aruch. Kol Dovishu Mishum Shvuz La'goz Ro'ala Bein Hashmash. So the Gemara says if I have the box of matzahs, the Erev sitting on top of the branches of a tree, So I'm not allowed to take it down Bein Hashmashes. I'm not allowed to take it down Bein Hashmashes because that's Mishtamshin also the Shtamish Bein Mechuber. But since the whole Lisa Shalom the Shtamish Bein Mechuber is a Gzeresh and the Yitlosh, like climbing up on a tree, climbing down on a tree, or leaning on a tree. So since the whole thing is only a Gzeresh Kalam and the Rabbanon, so Bein Hashmashes you would be Mata that. So that's called Huvei Ruva Bein Mokamecha. That's called since the whole Lisa is an Isa the Rabbanon Kal that prevents you from taking down the backs of matzahs from on top of the branches. So that's okay. But Tosfos says, what about to carry pachas midalad amos? Let's say he left the Erev, he left the box of matzahs in one place, and he wants to be kind of shvisa over here for Erev Tchumis purposes. And it's a mile away. So theoretically, he can carry gimel amos and put it down, carry gimel amos, put it down. To carry pachas midalad amos, only also in the Rabbanon. So Tosfos shows from the Gemara that you would not be matir carry pachas and daladam as bein hashmashes. So the Gemara said, "Beferish, if it's very far away, I want to be kind of shvisa here for tchum Shabbos purposes. I want to be kind of shvisa here in order to have my tchum Shabbos go past the shul, but the chacham is going to give the drasha. And I left my box of matzahs in my backyard. I left the box of matzahs in front of my house. I want to be kind of shvisa over there. So what good is it? It's no good. So Taisa says, what's wrong? I'll carry Bein Hashmashes. I can quickly. Bein Hashmashes is only so long, so I can run quickly. I carry three yamas, put it down. It's only an Issa Derabbanan. So since it's only an Issa Derabbanan, so that's okay. So why shouldn't that be considered Huvei Ruvav Makam Echad? It should be legitimate. The Taisa says no. You have to distinguish between an Issa Chomer and an Issa Kal. The only thing you make along Bein Hashmashes is also the Shtamish B'Mechuber or something like that. Amir L'Nochri. The Yisurim Derabbanan that are Kal, but the Yisurim Derabbanan that are Chomer now. So even let's say over here, the son of a Migdal, even though if he's going to use dynamite and break open the safe where he left his Erev, it's going to be Mekalkal. It's only going to be a Malacha Derabbanan anyway. But still, it's going to be a Malacha Derabbanan. It's more Chomer than all of these things that were Mata Bein Hashmashes. So Tosfos says, you wouldn't be Mata there. So Tosfos says, don't you see from that Gemara that Baina and Soyser even applies to Caleb? Isn't that a Beferish Arai against Rashi? So in Shulchan Aruch, the first Ramah in Siman Shin Yudalid quotes from Rashi on that Gemara. There's a Rashi on Daf Lamed Hei in Erevin, the Gemara where which Tosfos is quoting. Rashi on that Gemara in the Or Zeruah points out the Rashi, and the Ramah quotes it from the Trumas Adeshin. He's the last source that the Ramah quotes from. But the Trumas Adeshin got it from the Or Zeruah, got it from Rashi. So it's really you don't need all the people in between. Look in Rashi on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. Rashi writes in Erevin, it's a difference between a Migdal Shaleitz which is Mafsig Memsor and a Migdal Shaleitz which is not Mafsig Memsor. There is a din that a Kliyetz is only Mekabel Tumah if it's Mitaltel. So it's a Gemara Maseches Shabbos Taka early in Perek Rabbi Akiva. On if it's Mitaltel. What if it's a Kliyetz Ha'Osi Lenaches? It's such a heavy piece of wooden furniture that you always let it sit in one place. Gemara Megillah has an example in Aron Kodesh. Aron Kodesh sits in the same spot. Some shuls not so. Some shuls the Aron Kodesh on wheels, so they move it in, move it out. So I can't say so. But in the days of the Gemara, the Aron Kodesh stood in the same place. Gemara has a case. Somebody died in the room that was adjacent to the shul on Shabbos, or Yontes. And the Kohanim couldn't go into the shul because the tumah went through from one room to the other. So they wanted to block up the opening. But whatever you're going to put in the opening, if it's going to be a kli, so a kol davar hamakabel tumah, ein chaytitz b'fnei tumah. So what are you going to put? So the Gemara says, move the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is a kli eitz ha'asei l'naches. It's a wooden kli that sits in one spot. They never move it. So move the Aron Kodesh to block up that spot where the opening is between the room that's where the mace is and the Beis HaMedrash. So the Aron Kodesh is not Mekabel Tumah because it's Kliyetz HaBod B'Midik. Kliyetz that's Machzik Memsor is called the Kliyetz HaAsir L'Naches. It sits in one spot. So Rashi there in Erevin Daf Lamed Hei distinguishes, he says, there will be Boneh if it's the Kliyetz HaBod B'Midik. If it's a small Kli, not Machzik Memsor. Memsor is the minimum size of a mikveh, the Gemara says. A mikveh, even if a person is a midget, if you have a baby, let's say you have a needle that's tummy, you have to be tovel a needle in a mikveh to remove. You have a fork, a knife that's tummy, you have to be tovel in a mikveh. So it's not sufficient if you have a little puddle of water that this needle can fit into. You have that memsor, Why do you need memsa even for a midget, even for a little baby? So the Gemara says, an odem beinani, average-sized person needs memsa. Ma'am should call gufa ela behem avasach. If a guy is a gigantic, a giant, and he's very fat, so then the darki tshuva quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, if the guy's gigantic, he can't fit in memsa, he's going to need more than memsa. Darki tshuva gets upset about that. He says that it's apikusis. Because the Gemara says, halach l'moshe misina. That is memsel. It's a little unreasonable. The Halacha Moshe Mesina says that memsel, even if you're a midget and you can fit into chofsor, the Halacha Moshe Mesina says you always need memsel, the size that an average person could fit into. But if you're very fat or you're gigantically tall, like Ogmelech HaBoshem, you can't fit into memsel. So of course you need more than memsel. So what's the taina that the Darki Tshuva has against the against Aruch HaShulchan? Is the Pashtus says that he's a Chirayt. I'll be Pashtus, he's a Chirayt. So the Halacha says that you need Memso. So how much is Memso? So the Gemara says in the last Perek Amsochem, Amo Alamo Verum Gimel Amos is Memso. 3 cubic Amos is Memso. So a lot of times we have a furniture like that. Let's say you have a bookcase that's so gigantic, it's not Amo Alamo Verum Gimel Amos, it's narrower than an Amo, but it's so tall that it's machzik, it contains within it, ama alama barum gilam, so it contains 3 cubic amis. If you measure from the outside, the thickness of the bookcase is also relevant. So the moshel, there's a din in the Gemara, one is not permitted to be mishamish mitosai in a room when there are svarim. But what happens if all the svarim are in a bookcase and they're pushed in? A lot of times you have the svarim sticking out. But all the svarim are pushed into the bookcase. So then the Mishnah Berurah writes la halacha, if the bookcase is so big, so deep, and so tall that it's machzik memsor, so that bookcase is considered a separate room. Even though it moves, that's la halacha. Kli ha-machzik memsor is considered an ohel. The halacha says that if you have a kli eitz habo b'midah, if it's so big, it's not mekabel tumah, it's not exeris ha-kosev, it's not mekabel tumah. There are different kelim that are not mekabel tumah. Let's say kli avonim, Klei glolim, klei adoma are also not mekabel tumah. That's a kli, but it's halacha that is not mekabel tumah. But haray that it's a kli, it says that by paraduma, it says v'nosan ala maim chayim al keli, you have to have the kiddush mei chatos, you have to have maim chayim from a mayon, and you have to take the efer para. When you burn a paraduma, you have a ton of the ashes, so you have to take a little bit of the ashes and throw it into the maim chayim in a kli. So the Mishnah says it has to be a kli. It can't just be a puddle on the ground. That's no good. But a kli is acceptable even if it's klei galolim, klei adoma, and klei avonim. Even though it's a kli that's not mekabel tumah, it's still called a kli. But here, if you have a kli eitz habov b'midos, a Rashi shita is not that it's a gzeres hakosev that is not mekabel tumah. The Halacha says that it's not called a kli. That's interesting. That's also a machlekes Rashi and Tosis. Tosis couldn't imagine this answer. Tosis goes l'shitosam. If you take a look, and we're going to learn this. A mem dalet on the base. There's a little tesis muchani shalor. Muchani shalor. The tesis quotes the fourth line in the tesis. They refer you to a gemara mchoris daf lamet ches. So they quote a gemara bahanach dechazel lemedrasas. The gemara says there that there's a din if you have klei shetef. There's klicheres. Klicheres can become tummy and it has no tarab and mikveh. And klishetef means, let's say, a wooden kli, a metal kli, that if you tovel it in the mikveh, it'll become tar. Klishetef means if you wash it out, then the mikveh will become tar. So there's a din that klishetef, let's say a wooden kli, is only mekabel tumah if it has a toch. If it's a pshuti kli eitz, if it's a flat kli, then it's not mekabel tumah. Let's say when you buy ice cream in a Dixie cup, and then they give you a wooden spoon. So the wooden spoon is just flat. It doesn't have any, it's not like a normal spoon that has a toch. It's a flat wooden spoon, so the din is that doesn't have any kabbalas tumma even with the rabban. If you have a challah board that's bigger, also a flat piece of wood, so Taisus in the beginning of Sukkah has a chiddush that that's mekabel tumma with the rabban, and then that's quoted in Hilchos Chach, that you can't use as chach something that's mekabel tumma with the rabbanon either. So that's the question. But let's say the spoon for the Dixie cup, that's a pshuti kli eitz, that's not mekabel tumma. So the Gemara says there in Mechoris daf lamet ches, even if you have a pshuti kli eitz, that's not mekabel tumma, but if it's chazi lemedris, if it's such a thing that's miyuchad li yeshiva, that people would normally sit on, the spoon for the Dixie cup is not big enough for anybody to sit on. But if you have some other pshuti kli eitz, that shouldn't be mekabel tumah because it doesn't have a base kibul, but it's roi lemedris. So once it could be mekabel tumas medris, because for medris you don't need that it should have a base kibul. So once it's chazi lemedris, then Allah says that it's mekabel tumas maga as well, even though it's a pshute. So Tesis argues with Rashi that they think the same is true by kli eitz habo b'mido. If you have a wooden kli, kli eitz asi l'nachetz, it's so gigantic, it's machzik mem so, that's how Rashi learned. The thing is machzik mem so. So Rashi says it's not mekabel tumah, and even though Rashi learns pshat in the case that the thing is roi l'nedris, so Rashi holds that it's still not mekabel tumah smago. So Tesis says, how can it be? But if it's roi l'medris, the Gemara says that it is mekabel tumah. So the answer is no. The Gemara has that klal if the thing is a kli. So the Chedush Aran writes over here. This is Sefer Chedush Aran. It's written by somebody else, not really the Ran. We quote it from the Chedush. It's known that it's written by somebody else. So in the Sefer Chedush Aran, on this Taisus, he answers Rashi. He says, Rashi holds that klal in the Gemara M'chores Daf Lamed Ches only applies if you have a kli, which is a kli. But there's some hitch, there's some halacha that says it's not mekabel tumah. Why? Because it doesn't have a base kibul. Okay, pshuti kli eitz. Pshuti means flat. If you have a flat kli eitz, it's not mekabel tumah. But if it's roi lemedris, miyuchad lemedris, then not only does it have tumas medris, it can have tumas maga as well. But if you have a kli eitz habo b'midah, the reason that it's not mekabel tumah is not a glata gezeres hakos b'yalma. No, the Rambam writes because harei hen koholim. When the Rambam quotes these Mishnais in the Holos, he says, Hareim Koholim, it's considered an Ohel. That's why it's not a Kamas. It does not have a Shem Kli at all. It's not like Kli Che, it's not like Kli Glolim, Kli Adoma, Kli Avonim, which are Kelim, but it's a Xeris HaKosov, then it's not a Kabbalah Tumas. This is called an Ohel. No, if it's an Ohel, so it's not a Kabbalah Tumas Maga either. So that's the answer. That's what Rashi himself writes on Erevin, on Daf Lamed Hei. On that Daf, where Taisus is disproving Rashi Shita, so Rashi defends himself. Rashi says it depends how big the Migdal Shel Eitz is. How big is your wooden piece of furniture that you have in the living room where you locked in the matzah for the Erev Eitz Chumen? If it's machzik mem so, then it's a binyan. It doesn't have to be mechubel l'karka. Rashi never meant to say that there's only binyan if the thing is mechubel l'karka. The thing can be tolish, and it's still going to be binyan, provided that it has a shein binyan on it. So if the thing is less than, if the kli eitz is not bo b'midas, less than them so, then it's a kli. So then Rashi sheet that there's no binyan, there's no stira. But if the kli eitz is bo b'midas, if the kli eitz is a bo b'midas, it's machzik mem so, it's not mechuba l'karka, but it's called an ohel. That's why it's not mekabel tumah. The Rambam writes harehim koholim. So if it's an ohel, it has a shein binyan on it. So then Rashi Shita is that then there would be the binyan. There's binyan in a thing that has a shame binyan on it.
Memsa means it displaces memsa?
Yeah, from the outside. From the outside. Let's say the bookcase has a thickness of 3/4 inch or so. Even though the bookcase doesn't have anything in the front, it's all open. You measure from the outside. That's a machlekes hatanoi, mishamim misil and mishnayis, where they measure the kli from the outside, the inside. It doesn't have to be machzik mem so on the inside. It doesn't have to have volume in the air in the aver inside. As long as the whole thing measuring from the outside has mem so, gimel amalama barum gimel, 3 cubic amas, then it's called the binyan. So that's what Rashi's opinion is. Yeah. Then there is the other Rishonim asked. There is another Gemara. The famous Gemara about Mafis Mursal. Where is that? Here, Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph. Mafis Mursal is really a Mishnah in Adius. But we know we're not learning Adius this year. So it's quoted on Kuf Zayin Omer Aleph. Right before the end of the Perek. Around 10 lines before the end of the Perek. So it says if a person has a pus pimple, he has something. So if he's squeezing out the pus, lahotim mena lecha, is pater amuta. That's what the Gemara says. Even though usually when it says pater, it means pater avalasa, but in this case it's pater amuta. But if he does a good job, kederach harayfim, the Rambam describes, if he does a very good job, not just interested in removing the lecha, in lasas lapeh, he's oise pesach. So if you make a pesach in a kliya, you make a pesach in a gufa, then pesach means Osi lahachnis alahotzi, he wants to squeeze out the pus, and he's going to put in medication. Or he wants fresh air to go in. So the Pesach is osi lahachnis alahotzi. So then oise Pesach is a malacha. So what's the malacha of oise Pesach? So we usually learn that oise Pesach is a malacha of bona. Oise Pesach is a malacha of bona. So don't you see that there's bona not by mechuber? So Rashi, first of all, Rashi has two pshatim on that Gemara. Rashi writes chayev, six lines on the top. Im lasus lapeh. Rashi writes kederach sharofim shalach shavosim. The mesakan of Pesach, if you make a Pesach lahachnis alohotzi, Rashi writes the same as the Rama, kederach sharofim osim. If you do a good job, kederach sharofim osim chayev. Mishum bone Pesach or mishum makev apaktet. The second kli. Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi a few places in Shas and Ksub is also on Daf Vav where this Gemara is quoted. The Mishnah in Edis is quoted. So Rashi I think over there also has the two pshatim. And Moise Pesach, the Gemara says Haboyel Besula B'Shabbes is Moise Pesach. So what's the malacha of Moise Pesach? So Rashi has two pshatim, whether it's bone or it's makev apaktet. So if it's bone, then you have a problem. How can you have bone by Odom? If Rashi sheet is only bone is only b'mechuba l'karka, so the answer is Rashi never said there's only bone b'mechuba l'karka. Rashi himself was moide. Rashi had to admit from the Gemara in Erev and Daf Lamed Hey that if you have a kliyetz abo b'mida that's machzik mem so that's the migdol shaleitz. If you have a kliyetz abo b'mida, there is an issue of bone. Why? The answer is that's called an ohel. There is binyan b'aholim. If the thing is called a binyan, it's binyan. It doesn't have to be mechuba. If it's an ohel, then it's called the binyan. So Rashi says over here, by Adam, it could be that a human being is called the binyan. That's the Gemara on Tzadikei Amud Aleph. Rashi there, in if you look in Ksubas Davar, Rashi quotes this Gemara on Tzadikei Amud Aleph on the top line. So the Gemara says, if a woman needs her hair, there is a machlokes hatanoim, whether that constitutes an Issa deraisa or an Issa derabbanan. That's the Mishnah on Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. Women usually the bismanas that you have men who braid the hair. Tanoin couldn't visualize such a thing. Okay. Why Shimshon? If you have a nazir, so what is he going to do? He's going to go with his hair, long hair. So the Rambam writes, if a nazir wants to enter the Beis HaMikdash, how can he go in? Prui Rosh. They're not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Prui Rosh means a person that didn't take a haircut in 30 days. It's called Paru Arosh. So the Rambam writes, in Uchaz Bias Mikdash, and knew if a guy's a nazir, so he can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says, no, let him braid his hair nicely. That he can go into the Beit HaMikdash. Okay. So, but the Mishnah has Belosh in the Keva. A woman is Godelis. A woman is braiding her hair. Who had the Nami? A man braids his hair also. So the Gemara says on the top line, and what's the Melocha in Godelis? On top line on Tzadikei. So the Gemara says, Godelis is Chai Mishum Bone. Frek the Gemara, the Chider Binyan Bekach. Is there a Din of Binyan Begufa Odom? The Gemara says, yes. It says in Parashas Bereishis, Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esatzela. What do you mean by Yiven, Melamed, Shekila, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chavavi, Etzel Adam? The Rebbeinu Shlomo made her a fancy hairdo. Shekila, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chavavi. The Rebbeinu Shlomo braided Chava's hair, fancy hairdo, that she should be good looking, she should be appealing to Adam Arishan. So the Yeah. Okay. But the Gemara understands the word Bayiven that it comes Milosh and Binyan. Mm-hmm. So you see that Shach that Binyan by an Adam, a human body is called a Binyan. So Mimele Rashi. So the Gemara says this Aliba de Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer holds that if you braid your hair, that's a Malacha deraisa. So what's the Malacha deraisa bona? Where do you have a marker that is Binyan Meguf Adam? So they have the pasuk from Bereishis that there is binyan meguf adam. It says, however, in the Mishnah, Machachamim Moisim Mishum Shvus only Osam the Rabbanon. So that's a shaila. What did the Rabbanon disagree? The Rabbanon hold that there's no binyan ba adam. There's no binyan ba adam. So what do they do with the pasuk Vayiven? It says the Pharisee that there is binyan ba adam. So it says on the side that this memre is quoted in Nidah Daf Mem Hamid Beis. The Gemara Nida Memhemi Beis is discussing when the people become bar mitzvah. Boys and girls, when do they become bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah? So there is a machlekes hatanaim. Who becomes bar mitzvah at the earlier age? The boy becomes bar mitzvah earlier, or the girl becomes bas mitzvah earlier? So we pasken l'alocha that the girl becomes bas das a year earlier than the boy. The girl becomes gedola at the age of 12 and the boy at the age of 13. So Gemara says, what is that based on? So that's based on this pasuk in Bereishis, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela. The Gemara understands the verb Vayiven not to come Miloshin Binyam, but rather to come Miloshin Bini Yaseira. Bina. Miloshin Bina. So the Gemara says that the Gemara presents it like a machlokes hatanoim. This Tana in the Mishnah Rav Leza holds Vayiven is Miloshin Binyan. And the other Tanoim disagree. They hold that there's no Binyan Bottom. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. They deny it. Bachachamim Oysum Mishum Shvus. They hold that grading the hair is only the Rabbanon. So what do they hold? They deny that there's binyan be'odam, period. There's no such thing. But it says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Adam, says that there is binyan be'odam. So the answer is no, Vayiven is Miloshin Bina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu injected more Bina into Chava than into Adam. Sure. So that's how the Gemara says. So Rashi, in Erevin, Rashi in Ksuba Zavob, and in other places, a few places in Shabbos also, Rashi has another suggestion. It's a little bit against the Gemara neither. Rashi says, no, the Chachamim in the Mishnah only disagree about braiding the hair. They hold that braiding the hair is not a violation of Binyan. But they are masking with the major premise that there is Binyan Bottom. The Pasuk says, Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, that there is Binyan Bottom. They don't agree Shekila. They don't agree that the Pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made fancy hairdo. Fancy hairdo is not Binyan. But just to make a human body, to make Chava, that is Binyan. So to make a Pesach Ba'odom, to make a, if you're mafis mursan, you make a pesach hotzi lahachnis lahotzi gederach sharoisim moisim. So according to one day in Rashi, Rashi had the two pshotim in a few places in Shas. According to one day in Rashi, that's going to be chay mishum bonin. Where do you have binyan bodim? So the answer is the chachamim do agree with Reb Leizer. They disagree only on braiding the hair, a detail, a major detail. They disagree only in details, but in principle they ask him that a human body is called a binyan. And mele, there is binyan bodim. Rashi disagreed with Taisus, there's no binyan mekelim. It doesn't mean there's only binyan b'mechuba l'karka. No, there's only binyan b'binyonim. So mechuba l'karka is binyonim. A kliyetz haba b'mida. Kli haba b'mida, that's called an ohel. So that's called a binyan, even though it's not mechuba l'karka. And a human body is called a binyan. Human body is called a binyan. I don't know. Good question. Why did the Gemara have to fish for a different malacha? Why don't they just say that it's kesha? But you make a knot at the end. You do. You
rubber,
put.
You put a ribbon in.
Rubber band. You do something.
You do something, but the braid itself doesn't stay.
But you have to do something. Otherwise, it's not binyan either. You have to have binyan shel kavua. Binyan aroy is also not.
But also, by doing the spiro, that doesn't stay by itself.
Not that knot itself is not. We don't say that you have a malacha of kesher when you make a little knot that makes it a thing. You have to do something to make that stay also, and
that's what the Gemara says.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. We got to work on that question. Okay. I don't
know.
Good. Anyway, this is the famous machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi takes it literally. Ain't binyan b'kelim. That there's no binyan b'kelim. There's only binyan on a binyan. And binyan is either mechuber or kli amachzik memsor. Or possibly odom. Rashi has the two pshotim. When the chachamim disagree with Reb Leizer on Sarkem and Aleph, exactly what do they disagree? Do they just disagree on Godeles? But in principle, they agree that there is binyan ba'odam. Or no, they disagree that there's not binyan ba'odam. Ayvayiben Hashem goes on bini yisera. That's the simple pshat in Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida says that this is the machlokes hatanai. Whether the word vayiven is miloshin binyan or miloshin bina. What is the verb that you're basing it on? Anyway, and that's what Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos' shita is that ein binyan mekelim, all the cases that it appears in the Gemara, Achzoras Treisin, and then Maseches Beitza Daf Yud Amid Aleph, and on Daf Memzai, and all the Gemara goes on a klishal prokim vahed yot yochal lahachaziro. But if you need an umen lahachaziro, that's like asiyas kli mechadosh. So Tosfos says that you will be chai mishum bona. That you will be chai mishum bona. So what does it mean? So every time you make a kli, so you should be chai shtayim. You should be chai mishum bona, chai mishum makaba patish. So that's basically what Tosfos asks in the last line. It's archeon. So the likshi memina peach the kli schuche is the sof pirkin. Where's that? It says I inhale on his base. What does it say on Ayin Hey on the base? After the tiny letter, in between the letters Zayin and Ches. Atzar Tzura Bekli B'Hamanapech Bekli Schuchas Chai Mishum Maka B'Apatish. The Gemara says if you're blowing through the tube in order to make less kelim, it's a malacha Maka B'Apatish. If Tesis is bothered with a kasha, let it also be a malacha Bona. Maybe it is, maybe. So they're bothered. Why? How come it doesn't say Chai Shtayim? Well, what's Tesis Kasha? Why does it only say Makaba Patish? It should either be Bona or Makaba Patish, or it should be Chayv Shtayim. The Minchas Chinuch and the Shvisas HaShabbos were pushing a shita that some Rishonim hold. You can't be Chayv Shtayim if you only made one accomplishment. The whole Gemara that says Zemer Tzach Leitzim Chayv Shtayim, if there are two accomplishments. If there's one accomplishment, so that was a machloikis, a beferish a machloikis. It's a little unclear what Tesis is driving at. What's Tesis Tzorachian? The last line in the Tesis on our daf, on Ayin Dalet on the base. But Tzorachian, they have a problem that contradicts them. The Lalikshi Mimanatev Leschus of Pirkin. What's the Kasha? It says there, Chai Mishum Makaba Patish. So they're asking, why isn't it also Chai Mishum Bona? What do you mean? It should be Chai Shtayim. So that's what some Achrayim say. You're not going to be Chai Shtayim. There's only one accomplishment. You made it clear. It's a toss up. Either Chai Mishum Bona, Chai Mishum Makaba Patish. Can't be both. Maybe Anachinami. Maybe it's either Bona or Makaba Patish. Unless that Tesis felt that that's also difficult, why didn't it say so in the Gemara? The Gemara just says Chai Makaba Patish. Why didn't it say either Bona or Makaba Patish? It's unclear exactly. It's a little Tzarchian. What's Tesis Tzarchian? What exactly is Tesis? What's the issue that Tesis raised here? Anyway, this is the famous Machlokes Rashi and Tesis. By the Bona. And about the pit and the glasses, that's what the Achrayim shtelt soon. In the Imre Yosha, Shal Shivas Imre Yosha, by Meir Arik, he writes, if someone's glasses fell apart on Shabbos, so is he allowed to put the screw in loosely? So he quotes the Gemara, Mem Zion. The Gemara says, no. Since if you'll use a screwdriver and you'll tighten it, that'll be Toka, Chayiv Chatos, either Mishim Boda, Makaba Patish, however, you'll interpret the Gemara. Toka, Chayiv Chatos. Toka means if you screw it in tightly. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to even put it in loosely. Next, the patar olas, exer, shema yiska.
What does loosely mean? That you're not allowed to turn it once or twice, or just drop it in?
I think you're not allowed to drop it in either. Not allowed to drop it in either. He talks about what if the lens fell out from the frame. So I think he writes, if I'm not mistaken, I think he writes, some people have such, he lived before the Second World War, he lived a long time ago, Merar. So he writes that some frames are so shvach, every week or so it falls out. So that's not toka. Even if you push it in tightly, you know it's going to fall out in another couple of days. That's not toka. But if you push it in, and usually it stays for a long, long time, so then he thinks that that's toka. That's called toka chayv chatos. That'll be a melacha deraisa. Toka chayv chatos. Toka chayv chatos. So let's say you have a soda bottle and you screw on the cap. You're going to say toka chayv chatos? How can it be? The answer is no. That's the hishtamshus of the soda bottle. You open it, you close it, you open it. But when you're thirsty, you open it and you take a drink. That's not a malacha. That's what someone said. That some people have a fancy tie pin that you screw it in the back. You have a pin that goes through and you screw it in the back. So some said toka chayv chatos. So others said no, they thought that that's like the cap on the soda bottle. That's also a lakas. That's not a malacha. Let's say if you have a stender, So some people, they keep on making the shtender higher, the shtender lower, and every time they tighten the screw to hold it higher or to hold it lower. So if you keep on moving it up and down, that's the way the normal hishtamshis is. Maybe it's the same as when you sit down, you make it low. When you stand up, you make it up. So maybe that's the same as a soda bottle. But if I have a shtender and I always make it one size, that's it. And someone else used my shtender, and now I want to make it back to correspond to my height. And once I'm going to fix it, it's going to stay like that. So that could be that that's toka. That could be that that's not like a soda bottle. That's not also to keep on changing. Unless the shtenders keep on floating around the base medrash all the time. And whoever grabs it, kol ha'kodim zocha, and everybody adjusts it to his size. But that's an issue. Tightening in or loosening the screw on the shtender, that's an issue where the toka chayv chatas would apply. That's the Gemara Mem Zayin. And toka chayv chatas, exactly where does it apply? Sometimes we know for sure it doesn't apply. By a bottle cap. Yeah, for sure it's mutter. In the Gemara, toka chayv chatas means I screwed something in tightly that it should hold together. The winding the watch is a different thing, that it doesn't function. If I don't wind it, it's going to stop. So that's a question, is that called makaba patish? If I have a watch that's not broken, but it's not running. So I pull out the button, I pull out the thing, and I adjust the time. And then I put it back in, and then I wind it. So is that called, that's a shayla, is that called the second money? Did I fix a broken watch? Oh no, that's the hishtamshis of the watch. When it's not running, so you set it to the right time, and then you wind it up, and that's the way you use it. So that's one machlokes. Some poskim hold that that's the second money. You put a system in motion. And others hold that that's perhaps the second money mid the rabbonim. The second monument of Rabbanon. That's based on the Ran in on the Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Samach. There is a Gemara. Not all the Hilchos Shabbos appear in Masechus Shabbos. Some of Hilchos Shabbos appear in Ksubis Davov and other Masechtos all over the place. So in Ksubis on Daf Samach there is a Gemara. The Rif quotes it in Masechus Shabbos, but the original Gemara is in Ksubis Daf Samach about if the fella has a drain pipe that leads the water down from the roof, that it should go down. Instead of all the water collecting on the roof and seeping through and leaking through the roof and ruining the whole house, so he has a drain pipe. So if the drain pipe is clogged up and the water is not going down, so then the Gemara says, you got a problem. The Gemara says, Mimachan Beraglov. He should push his shoe, he should push with his foot down the drain pipe to clear it to have everything go down. Hayidei Shinui. He should do it ayidei shinui. So why is he not allowed to do biyodayim? Why should he have to dafki do ayidei shinui? So the Ran works, Tosfos works out on that Gemara, what's the issue, what's going on? And the Ran works out there. So the Ran says on that Gemara, you have a kli that's not functioning over here because it's clogged up. Let's say I have dirty kelim. Someone ate Leil Shabbos, they ate with the kelim, and I want to eat with the kelim on Shabbos in the daytime. So to wash off the dirty kelim, that's not called misakin mana. Have a dirty kli and I make it clean. I have glasses that are dirty, so you clean them out. The Gemara said, b'feirush, you're allowed to wash glasses and kelim on Shabbos. That's black and white. That's a Gemara. You're permitted to wash dirty kelim on Shabbos. This is no malacha. The Gemara talks about why is it not a malacha of mimachik. That's what the Gemara raises an issue earlier. We'll have to get to that. Mimachik is on this daf. Mimachik is, Rashi brought up mimachik over here. If you have something that has a rough surface, and you sandpaper it down, and you make it smooth. Or the next Gemara has mimachik. He has a konof from an oaf. He has a feather from an oaf. And then he wants to make it smooth, so he rips off, let's say he wants to have a smooth pen to write with. So he rips off all of the feathers and he's left with the smooth thing. So the Gemara says that that's a malacha of mimachik. So the Gemara raises an issue. The Gemara didn't occur to the Gemara that this should be a shayla masakan mana to wash out a dirty kli. The Gemara's only discussion is let it be mimachik. So the Gemara says not mimachik either. So Rashi explains why it's not mimachik, because the dirt that's stuck to the kli is not an integral part of the kli. Memachik is only if you have a rough piece of wood and you sandpaper it down, you remove something. Have a rough surface like over here. I have a feather and I have all these things that are attached to the feathers. I rip them all off and then I make a smooth stem of the feather. Or Rashi has, he has twigs of wood and he wants to make them smooth in order to weave something with the wood, in order to make a woven basket out of it. So Rashi says that's going to be a melacha memachik if he makes it smooth. So that's beferish in the Gemara, that to wash out dirty kelim is not a problem. There's no misakin mana, and there's no problem of memachik either, because it's not the dirt is not an integral part of the thing. It's just removing the dirt that was separate from the thing. The shaila is over here. If you have the drain pipe that's not functioning, you're not fixing a broken drain pipe. It's clogged up. So if you push your hand in and you put the system in motion, so the Ran claims that that's a mesakin mana midrabbanan. So if you to put a system in motion, it's clogged up, and you, let's go to Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Let's say you have the toilet is stopped up, and mamish doesn't go, nothing is going. So he says that's the same as a drain pipe that's plugged up. So the whatever is the din over there is going to be the same din over here. So that's according to the Ran, that'll be misakin mana midrabbanan, to put the system in motion. To put the system in motion. So many assume that winding, if I have a watch that's mamish broken and I give it to the jeweler that he should fix it and he fixes it, that's a misakin mana minatar. That's misakin mana minatar. You can't say over there, according to Tesis, you can't say ein binyan mikalim. It's a cliche of prokim, yeah, but you need an uman lahachazira. Had you any achlazira? You need an uman lahachazira. You need an expert to take out what's broken and to put in a new one to fix it. So a cliche of prokim, and you put it back together. When you need an uman, you have to give it to a jeweler, a specialist, an expert. So Tesis will say that that's a bona, and Rashi will say that it's makabat patish. Fine. But let's say you have a watch, nothing is broken. You just have to you have to set the clock, you have to set it, and you have to wind it to have it go. So, although there is an opinion that that's a makabah patish deraisa, the pashtus says that the worst it can be is a makabah patish derabbanan. That's going to be a misakin mana derabbanan along the lines of this Ran. That if you set a system in motion, that's going to be a misakin mana derabbanan. So the Ran learns on that Gemara that if you would push through your hand, through the clogged up drain pipe, that would be misakin mana kedarkoi. And if you push memachon beraglon, if you stick your, you shove your leg through, that's kalachayah, so that's a double derabbanan. That's the shvuz, the shvuz. The malach in the first place is only the derabbanan. If you do baraglo, it's kalachayah. So shvuz, the shvuz, mamakam hepsid gadol is muta. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says there was a baby who was born on Shabbos and the bris was scheduled to be the next Shabbos and they didn't have any warm water. In the days of the Gemara, they wouldn't perform a bris unless they would bathe the baby before and after the bris with warm water to prevent infection. Mechaber writes that Bizman Azeh, Mechaber lived in Tzfat in the 1500s, says that Bizman Azeh, we have such better hygienic conditions that they don't bathe the baby, not before, not after. The babies don't get sick from the brismim. But in the days of the Tanoim, there was considered a suffix sakon. So the Gemara says, if you don't have warm water to bathe the baby, so you don't perform the bris. But what happens if there is warm water, but it's in someone else's home and there's no Erev? So the Gemara says you're permitted to ask a nochri to carry in the chotzer sheinim or rebbes, because it's only a shvuz de shvuz. So Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Ches on the base has the two pshatim. You see the shvuz de shvuz is muta b'makam mila. Maybe it's only b'makam mila because mila b'zmana is a malacha and it's decha Shabbos. Mila is such a powerful mitzvah. It's decha Shabbos. The machshirim are not decha Shabbos. Machlekes is hatanoim. So we pass on the machshirim are not decha Shabbos. But since the mila is so chomer, so maybe shvuz the shvuz on machshirim is decha Shabbos. That's one opinion in Tosfos. Then we follow in Shulchan Aruch, we follow the other opinion that any case of shvuz the shvuz is muta b'makam mitzvah, any mitzvah, not only by the mitzvah of mila, any mitzvah. We say that a shvuz the shvuz is muta. So that's a shalom. What do I mean by shvuz the shvuz? Means shvuz the shvuz means amir la nachri to do a derabbanan. What if there's no nachri involved? I'm doing something which is only an iser based on a combination of two derabbanans. I'm doing a malacha misakin mana because the drain pipe is clogged. I'm not fixing a broken drain pipe. I'm putting the system in motion. It's unable to function because it's clogged up. So I unclog it, and I'm unclogging it kalachayad. So it's a double derabbanan, but there's no nochri involved. I'm doing it. So there was one. There was a minority opinion that the kula of shvuz de shvuz, the makam mitzvah, that we have accepted from that Tosfos and Gittin, that's only if one of the Shvusim is Amir al-Nachrin. But if everything is done by the Yisrael, then it's not Mutar. And the Rov HaPoskim and Achrayim disagreed. They said it's against all the Rishonim. They said it's a Beferish against the Rishonim. Any Shvus, the Shvus, the Makam Mitzvah is Mutar. So then they say, doesn't, if it's Mutar, the Makam Mitzvah, so it's Mutar, the Makam Hefsid Merubah. This Gemara, where the Ran is commenting, that Gemara in Ksubah, Daf Samach, is the Makam Hefsid. It's not a Makam Mitzvah. He doesn't want the house to leak in. He wants the system to function. So it's usually assumed that winding a watch, if it's Osir, then any hold that it's Hetagama. So even if you assume that it's us, it's assumed that it's an Issa Derabbanan. To wind the watch, to set the watch and to wind the watch is an Issa Derabbanan. Shabbos, what if the watch is going? And it's going to stop in the middle of Shabbos unless you wind it. So is that also called Mesaken Monim Derabbanan? You're not putting the system into motion. The system is functioning. It's going to conk out. It's not going to last too long. So you're causing it to continue to go. So Rav Moshe holds that was never a deal. Rav Moshe says if the watch is going, that's l'chol ha'deis, that's mutar. It's not a deal at all. Others disagree, and they think no, it's also a malacha. It's not a malacha now. It's a malacha lachazman. Since if he wouldn't wind the watch would stop in the middle of Shabbos. If that's the case, the watch is going to stop in the middle of Shabbos. So by his winding, the watch is going to continue to go. So just like if he would have waited till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the watch would have stopped, and then he would have wound it. So that's a malocha misakim manim the rabbanon. So if he winds the watch at 10 o'clock Leil Shabbos to prevent it from stopping at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's also a misakim manim the rabbanon. That's a chumrah. So the kitzur shulchan aruch writes, and on Yom Tov Sheni you can be mekel to wind the watch. He recognizes that the author of the Shulchan Aruch, Kitz of Shulchan Aruch, recognizes that there's an issue in winding a watch. The watch is going. There's an issue. So he says, on Yom Tov Rishon, maybe you should be making Yom Tov Sheni. It's only the Rabbanon to begin with, so you can be Mekel to wind a watch that's going. Okay. The others on Mekel, Rav Moshe was Mekel on Shabbos, on Yom Tov Rishon. He held that if the watch is going, there's no problem. Yeah, but that's al pipash. That's a misakin monim rabban. You're not really fixing a broken watch. You're putting a system in motion. And that's what the Ran understood on that Gemara. That by the drain pipe, if it's not functioning, and he calls it to function. Moshe has a tshuva. He says, what if you have a clogged up toilet bowl? So he says, if it's working, but it's just working very slowly, and you would prefer that it should go the way it normally goes. So he thinks, well, sofko sof, the system is functioning, just that it's slow, so he doesn't think that that's an Issa. So then he thinks you're allowed to use a plunger. But if the system mamish is not working, it doesn't work, period. So then he says that's the same as the Ran's case on the Gemara. So that's a drain pipe that's mamish not functioning. So to cause it to function, that would be a misakin mona midirabona. If you have no other toilet to use, I don't know. Okay, could be. He doesn't. That's another angle. It's a new shayla. He doesn't talk about that. Could be. Sometime we'll have to learn the Gemara. Gemara talks about when what is surah mayimat and mishum kavod abriyus. Okay, we got to learn those Gemaras. This melacha of the memachik, the melacha memachik is if you have a rough surface and you make it smooth by sandpapering the surface. What if you have a smooth surface, but you make a new smooth surface? Let's say you have a bar of soap, and it has a smooth surface, but when you use the bar of soap, so you make a new smooth surface because you obviously rub down part of it. You don't remove any of it, so the bar of soap should last forever. So the answer is every time someone uses a bar of soap, he removes, I don't know, 1/16 of an inch, 1/30 of an inch, something like that, 1/50 of an inch. So if you use the bar of soap enough times, so the whole bar of soap is going to disappear. So in effect, It's not invisible. Everybody knows that when you use a bar of soap, you remove a little bit, you make a new smooth surface. Is that called the machek? Is that considered making a new smooth surface? Is the machek also? Maybe it's only if you have a rough surface, and then you make it smooth. But if it was smooth from before, maybe there's no machek. So I was told that this was the machlokes in Europe, that there was some gedolim held that you were allowed to use a bar of soap if it was smooth on the outside. I think it's usually assumed today that you're not allowed to use a bar of soap. Then I told them, mimachek is mimareach. What's mimareach? Mimareach is if you polish your shoes, or if you polish the floor. If you have a rough surface and you make it smooth, not by removing the roughness from the surface, but rather by adding something to it. I add polish to the thing, or I plaster the walls. Plaster the walls is a problem of bona also, because it's going to be mamish mechubel karka. But let's leave out the bona. Forget about the bona. So if I make a rough surface, the ceiling is falling in. So I break all the parts that are falling in, and then I put plaster on to make everything smooth. I put wax on the floor and I make everything smooth. So I'm making a rough surface into a smooth surface, not by removing the the roughness, but rather by adding something onto it. So that's mimareach. Mimareach is a toldo mimachi. So that's a shailah. If you shmir on butter and a piece of challah, so that should be a problem of mimareach. So the Rishonim came up with the call, there's no mimareach boichlin. So that's derech achila is mut. The Gemara says that it's permissible to smear on oil on the body. So Rav Moshe Feinstein raises this issue. The Gemara doesn't say Rav Moshe, and the truth is Igoris Moshe raises the issue. He thinks that if it's very thick oil, then there is an iser of mimareach. That you're making a new smooth surface because of the thick oil. I thought the Ferish Gemara that it's muta los of shemen. So he said that's only if it's liquidy oil. So if you want to shmir oil, you have to make sure that it's very liquidy. So he writes a chumre that if you want to use, he thinks if you want to use liquid soap, he thinks that sometimes the liquid soap is too thick. So he thinks that you should liquefy it further. You should pour in more water to make sure that it's very liquidy, that it shouldn't make a new smooth surface on top of the skin. Marzav doesn't say. Marzav doesn't say. Marzav says, Mutta tishmir on oil. Gemara says if a woman is giving birth and she needs oil and you have to carry it, so the Gemara says you carry it kalachayad, you shmir on oil on your body, and then you go across, very sanitary, shmir on oil on your hands, and then you walk across the street and you squeeze off the oil and use it for the oletus. So all of my germs are going to go onto the oletus. But that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Gemara, it doesn't seem to be a problem of that's on Kuf Chav Ches on the day. If she needs oil, that's how you carry the oil. I don't know. Is that so? It's about 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Chav Ches on the day. It's a brisa. Tana Rabbanan says, "Hoyse tzvicha l'shemen, chavat hamavir l'shemen biyad." They smear on shemen on the end, and then they squeeze it off, and then they use it. The main sipek, or main sipek, if there's not enough shemen to smear on the end, so you smear, you pour the oil into your hair, and then you squeeze it out of the hair. So the Gemara says, because ain't schita b'seir, there's no isa derais in squeezing out the hair. So the Gemara there talks about shemen, it doesn't make a distinction. So Ramosha claims that must be talking about liquidy oil. If it would be very thick oil, he thinks that it would be a problem of the mareach. Where's that Gemara about washing the dirty dishes? It's a Beferishi Gemara somewhere. No? It's earlier. Anybody remember? There is a Beferish Gemara about washing dirty dishes on Shabbos that it's not a problem of Nemachay, because the dirt is not attached. Okay, we'll have to look for it. Could be also a problem on Nemachay. We'll have to see in the Gemara. Yeah, we have in the Gemara that it's Soveya, and the Rambam says that it's Kaisis. So you're asking, let it be Nemachay. When is it which? When is it witches? Okay? You gotta take a look. No. What does the Gemara have on the first white line? Amar Rabba Babachon Amar Abicha. Tevet Semer Shalgabi Behemle B'Shabbos Chayiv Shalosh Chatois. A person does three malochas Levas Achas. Achas Mishum Gozeis. He's obviously going to succeed in detaching the wool from the back of the sheep. So there's a malocha of Gozeis. Achas Mishum Menapetz. Menapetz is what? If you comb out the dirt from the wool. So here, you do everything together. Va'achas mishum tova, and they make it into material. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin it's only there upon Rafkana, main dach ziza bekach, main dach menapetz bekach, and dach tevi bekach. It's kalacha yad. Sure. And that's a klal in Melecha Shabbos. If you do a Melecha Kalacha Yad, Ayidei Shinoi, it's only going to be the Rabbonim. Based on the Pasuk of Melechas Mashevis. Where did that Pasuk say Melechas Mashevis? The original Pasuk of Melechas Mashevis says by the Mishkan. When they made the Mishkan, everything was done Melechas Mashevis. And the Gemara learns out, whatever was in the Mishkan is defined as a Melecha. So since all the Melechas on Mishkan were done Melechas Mashevis, so we carry over the requirement from Melechas Mashevis from the Mishkan to Shabbos. That's what the Gemara says in the first parak in Chagiga on Daf Yud, that Melechas Mashevis doesn't really say by Shabbos. Melechas Mashevis only says here the Taisus Ayin Hei Amad Aleph, Dibra Mascha Misase. Taisus refers you to that Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud. So the Gemara says Melechas Mashevis doesn't really say by Shabbos. It really says it by the Mishkan, but we carry it over from the Mishkan to Shabbos. That's what the Gemara points out there. So this is really an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says here, if you do Tviya al Gabi HaBehema on Shabbos, it's a lack of Melechas Mashevis Yinatchai. Frag Gemara Kasha, below, is that so? That's Kalacha Yad, Aibu HaTanya Mishmeidu Rab Nechemya, Shotu Boizim, Etovu Boizim, Alma Tviya al Gabi Behema Shmo Tviya. What does it mean? It means that the women, it says, V'chol isha chachma slei biyadeo tovu eso izim. So this Amoira has a tradition that it means the Tana, Shmeder Rav Nechemya, tovu eso izim, they made it into tevi while it was still attached to the back of the animal. So you see that's the way they did it in Mishkan. And for the Gemara, chachmi yiseiro shiny. So what does that mean? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosis here. So Rashi, Tosis learns that was a shtick that they did in the Mishkan, but that's abnormal. So that's a lack of Melechas Machshevis. So therefore, in Hilchas Shabbos, you're not chayv. Goyisim Boisam, whoever does like that, bot ladait and meitzol kol adam, as it says later by Anshei Hutzol, if you carry something on your head, is that called Kelacha Yad, or is that called Kederach Hoitzoh? So the Gemara says if the whole city carries on the head, so then it's okay. And if the Minig Amdina says no one does like that, even though you come from a Medina that's the way they carry, they all carry on the head, but you're now in a different Medina, so then you say Batla Daite Tzadasko, that's all the people in the city, we all go like that, so then that's Kedarka. So Taisa says whoever does like that, Batla Daitem. So how is the Malachas HaMishkan called? The din of Melechas Mashevis, the original din of Melechas Mashevis in the Mishkan. They had to do the Melechas HaMishkan, Melechas Mashevis. So Tosfos says that this is a lack of Melechas Mashevis and Batla Daitam. So it should have been possible. Should have been possible for the Mishkan. So Rashi doesn't say like Tosfos. Rashi says, Chof mi yisera, shiny. It depends whether you're an Uman or a Hedyot. If you're an Uman and you really know how to do it, then it's kidarka. If you're not an woman, then it's kalachaya. Rashi writes, Chochmi Sereknis Vchalisha Chachma Slave. The women who are mumchios, that's good. Avalahed Yutain Darkab Kachavi Kalachaya. So Rashi doesn't seem to learn like this. Rashi learns in the Mishkan Gufa, the only ones who did it like that are Gabi Abdehema, that's called kidarka. For one who is a mumche, it's kedarka. For one is not a mumche, for one is not an umen, then it's going to be kalachayad. Okay, so it sounds like they hold that it's always kalachayad. So that's the tella. How is the Mishkan kosher? If the original din of Melech Machshev is a din in the Mishkan, and if you make the Mishkan kalachayad, it's pasul. So according to the Tosafot, the Mishkan should have been pasul. Tella diketesis. I mean, Tosafot holds that the pasul Melech Machshev says by the Mishkan, but it doesn't apply to the Mishkan at all. Only applies to Shabbos. But it says it by the Mishkan. Once in a while, you have a din like that. The Gemara will point out there's a pasuk somewhere, and it really doesn't apply there at all. It only applies in a different case. But the Gemara should point that out, that there is no din of Melech Machshev in the Mishkan, according to Tosafot. It's only a din in Hilchas Shabbos. Okay, maybe that's what Tosafot saw. It's only a din in Hilchas Shabbos.
The Rambam learns that Kesher Kiyum has to be a Maisa Uma, because that's how it was done in the Mishkan. Should only be a Maisa Uma, it should only be then this way. That's the way, according to Rashi, it was done in the Mishkan.
Should only be chayiv if you're a numan. No, an uman knows how to do even al gabi abehema. An uman knows how to do shalah gabi abehema also. An uman knows how to do even al gabi abehema. A hedya does know how to do it properly al gabi abehema. Some of the women. Those who knew how to do it did it al gabi abehema. Most of the women did it shalah gabi abehema. It's also called the Melech HaSuman. If you do shalah gabi abehema.
Maybe we say it's like the same approach they were having over drinking the halab from the behema, that there's that the Mishnevura makes that char between the Yomekin and Ram and what we really found out. That there's like levels. And Hafman Yotera, that's already something so extreme and out there that, okay, fine, for the Mishkan, that's that normally we would say if an Uman did it, an Uman would be tired for it, but this was something so beyond whatever, this was Hafman Yotera, that nobody could possibly do this unless Hashem had given them the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm. So therefore,
therefore, it's achayyad. There was an achayyad because of the fact that they had this hafmeya terah that was not. This was not within their possibility to do it. So therefore, it was an achayyad for them, but for any normal person.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was min hashamayim. That was apines hastas. That was very unusual. Okay, could be. Could also be. Okay, we'll stop here. Good.